Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to open it up together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way that you have cleansed us, brought us into a living relationship with you. We do pray by your Spirit that you might speak to the depth of our beings, that we might be changed by your Spirit, that we might walk out of here afresh today, enjoying our time with you and our relationship with you and understanding you just that little bit more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled the sermon today One Way or Another, and there's going to be two points. One way is the Pharisees, and another way is listening to Jesus. And we look at that through the woman. As a Christian education teacher, one day I took some students to a mosque so they could learn firsthand what Islam taught for their studies of religion. And the teacher that was at the mosque was actually trying to convert the students. And later on, she talked about her own private conversion and why she got converted. And later on, I asked her and I said, if you had been presented with Christianity, do you think you might have become a Christian rather than a Muslim because you had certain needs and you were going through a hard time? Now, her reply was, no. She said, I chose Islam because Islam has some wonderful works that I like. I like the ritual of washing my hands before I go into the mosque. I like the rituals of preparing myself and cleansing myself before I meet a holy God. And she said, by the way, I was instructed by Christians as well, and I deliberately chose Islam because Christianity is too free. There is no rules. There are no regulations. You can just live your life. Now, my interpretation of what she was saying is she wanted to save herself. She couldn't trust God to save her. In chapter 7, we do see that Jesus is in conflict with the Pharisees about being clean before a pure God. Now, there's one way that we can do it, and that's the Pharisees' way. For the Pharisees, it was crucial to actually clean your hands so you wouldn't contaminate the body. And in verse 2, we see that the disciples were eating with dirty hands. Now, you're not Jewish. You're not a good Jew if you're neglecting to wash yourself before you eat anything. And to do so was to, as it says, to ignore the customs of the elders. Now, they were written in the Talmud, which is the Jewish theology of law, in a sense. In verse 4, the Pharisees, they even... it tells us they cleaned their utensils and their bowls, everything. In other words, if you wanted to prevent yourself from being contaminated, there are no such thing as a 3-second rule. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to chocolate, I have a 5-second rule. Now, the Pharisees, they asked Jesus in verse 5, why do your disciples not listen to the elders? Now, really, that's really like saying, Jesus, aren't you their teacher? Can't you just teach these simple instructions? But Jesus, what's your problem? Now, in Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 to 21, the priesthood had to wash their hands and their feet before they entered the tent of meeting. But this duty ended up being applied to everybody, to all people. Now, Jesus is never shy in a conflict, is he? And I love the conflict, and I love the way he responds to the Jews when he says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go the commands of God and are holding to human traditions. Jesus, see what he does? He appeals to the inspired word of God. He doesn't appeal to man's authority. But what a scathing word. have a listen to what he said to these disciples. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Now, it's certainly clear, isn't it, that Jesus is dealing with the heart problem. But what is the assumption of the Pharisees? What assumption do they have? They wash to avoid condemnation. They lack insight into the very depth of man's problem, which is seen in verse 20, the heart. Their starting point is, oh, we are clean, and to avoid contamination, we wash our hands. So the starting point is, for Pharisees, that we are clean. And wouldn't it be great if all you had to do to clean yourself up was to wash your hands? Oh, if it was only that simple. Wouldn't it be great if we could just wash our hands and say, God, here I am, all pure, ready for you. They made two mistakes, I think. And the first mistake is that they're following man's rule instead of God's rule. And the second, I've already hinted at, they presume, or the presumption, that we are clean. The first mistake is actually dealt... Sorry, I keep on pushing too hard. The first mistake is actually dealt by the Corban principle. And they were quick to dismiss God's word, we're told in verse 7, and verses 19 to 13, it addresses this. Deuteronomy 5 and 16 and 2017, one of the Ten Commandments is, honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. But the elders say, whatever you're going to give to look after your parents, if you actually dedicate it to God or earmark it for a higher purpose to God, then you don't have to look after your parents. You could actually ignore your parents. And that was man's rule, twisting God's rule. And they were really suiting themselves. Do you ever find yourself actually justifying yourself and twisting God's word to do so? Do you ever do that? I think I can do that. Sometimes we even may just be too presumptuous with grace. Saved by grace? What's a little sin? Do you ever sometimes twist God's word to justify yourself? Did you remember the congressman in USA who actually said, we're loving our neighbour? How is he loving his neighbour? Oh, he's opening his borders up so people from the other county can come and have their abortions in his place. That's loving your neighbour. Certainly twisting the word of God to say what he wants. In verses 6 and 14 to 23, Jesus addresses the second mistake, the cleansing or the assumption that you're clean, or thinking that you can avoid a contamination. And Jesus says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. It's not what you eat. It's not how you eat. And Jesus' point is, food cannot make you any worse or any better than you already are. It can certainly not make you any worse than you are. One of our missionaries lives in a place where her own mother-in-law is there, and it's a strong culture of washing. And her mother-in-law will do this every day before she does anything, goes out to the public tap, washes herself clean, even in the middle of winter when it's snowing, washes herself clean, comes back home in a private room, will actually prepare all her food and eat her food so nobody can contaminate her. But if the heart is the problem, if the heart, the core of the person, is tainted, then we are walking blemishes, forever unclean, inside to out. When Jesus said, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, it's easy to see that he's concerned for the human heart. Jesus has arrived to deal with the human heart, because the human heart is the heart of the problem. The heart is the problem. The inner being, the attitude, the motivation. And for the Pharisees, the heart showed in their voice and their speech. And when you really look at it, they had no praise for Jesus. No real praise for God. Now, when people are prone to reject God, we're prone to reject God just as people because of our heart. We actually then will seek to create our own way to please God. But we cannot fix our heart problem. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Surely I was sinful from at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" I remember a girl in one of the schools that I taught at. She was actually involved in every aspect of chapel that you could be involved in. She would do the drama, she would do the Bible reading, she would pray, she would sing, she would do everything with such enthusiasm, and her face would beam. And one day I saw her after school on the train, and I asked her how her work with Jesus was going. And this girl said, "I gave it all up." And she saw the shock horror on my face. And she said, "Oh, don't worry. I gave it all up. And now I'm free." What a relief it was. I don't have to perform anymore. I don't have the pressure. I'm no longer scared of hell. She just gave it all up. And all her efforts in chapel, which looked wonderful, were out of fear. Not out of love for God, who could make her clean. She was the perfect example of hypocrisy. And I didn't know it. Hypocrisy is where you put a mask on and you act. And she did that. And her lips and actions said one thing, but deep down in her being there was a totally different story, driven to appease God, out of fear. And when she told me that, my heart sunk. I said to her, the only thing I could think of saying, I said, "I hope you come to know the liberty that's in Jesus Christ, the peace in his death, which is sufficient to make you clean and acceptable to God." Perhaps, just perhaps, there's a person here today still seeking to save themselves. Or perhaps there's someone here like the Pharisee who looks good and does all the religious duties and loves to busy themselves serving, but all in the hope that they've done enough for the holy God. You know, when we try and clean ourselves up, we can end up beating ourselves up, trying to do something and reach something which is unreachable. This easily leads to depression, doesn't it? Now, Jesus wants his disciples and all people to know that the Pharisees were the ones who put impossible burdens on people that were unreachable, unattainable. Burdens on the ordinary people. In chapter 8:15, he says to them, to the disciples, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." If our uncleanliness is deep in the core of our being, then no legalism, no religious effort will ever change that heart condition that was given to us from birth. Friends, because of our hearts and the hardness, we are prone to slip into religion or to be like the Pharisees, have a false sense of our own goodness. It is so easy to become a hypocrite. For the Pharisees, they said, we love God and twisted his word, but masked their own godless heart because deep down they were ready to crucify Jesus and kill him. And from chapter 3, verse 6, they started to plan to execute him. In verse 15, we're told, nothing going in defiles, but what comes out is what defiles. Unclean through and through. That's the starting point for every single person that ever existed. Unable to be pure, perfect or holy. It's beyond us to satisfy the holy, pure God left to ourselves. Just look at the depth of the core of our being when he says this. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things can easily bubble up to the surface in our relationships. These poisonous traits manifest, and sometimes they explode out of us, don't they? Sometimes they just gush out like, I was going to say diarrhea. But, because that's what they are, isn't it? Almost. To our horror too, sometimes we see things in ourselves and we go, wow, how bad is my heart? I have a friend of mine, his heart's so bad, when he gets out of a chair, he's breathless. He can't breathe, he can't pump any blood around his body. And our poor hearts ruin potential for absolute purity on our own. The Pharisees, self-reliant, blind to their own faults. So many religions of the world are exactly the same, aren't they? And people all around the globe just blindly follow, trusting in self. And that's one way, isn't it? One way which is bound to fail. But there's another way, isn't there? The other way is the woman's way. According to Judaism, from the start, she reeks of being unclean. In a region, non-Jewish dwellers, she was Greek. The Pharisee smirked at Jesus, and I get the impression it was like this for Jesus. Okay, Pharisees, I tell you what, you think my disciples are unclean because they eat with dirty hands? I'll give you unclean. This is unclean. I'm going into the unclean territory. I'm going where the Jews aren't. You think I'm unclean? Watch this. And he goes off into the region that you would least expect. It seems that he had enough of them. The woman's arrival indicates that it's time for all nations to be blessed. She's a Greek person. It anticipates Acts 10, Cornelius, where the Gentiles are welcomed. And remember, Abraham's promise was to all nations. And remember, if 1 Kings, it says nations will come and marvel at Israel's blessings. In Isaiah 2 and Zechariah 8, nations will share in Israel's salvation. It's time. And it's been like that for 2,000 years. And this woman, she comes and begs Jesus to heal her daughter. In verse 27, Jesus says to her, hang on. These are my words, it'd be a paraphrase, right? Hang on, first the blessing goes to Israel. And verse 28, the woman's reply is really like saying, but I want to share in the blessing now. Her faith and her witty comeback is a complete contrast to the Pharisees. She realises Jesus is the one to bless Israel. Israel has got all they need. Jesus, they've got you. What else do they want? Surely, surely you can spare just a few crumbs for me, a Greek woman. Was Jesus calling her a dog, like all the other Jews? Or is he trying to extract something out of her to see what she will say? Her response is really one like saying, listen, Jesus, even the pet dogs come and feed off the floor. If you're going to call us a dog, then at least let us come into the house of blessing and eat the scraps. See, she's indicating that we actually belong in the share of the blessing, for the nations should come in. The Jews have everything in you, Jesus. Share it with us. Every day, CMS receives phone calls from people like this woman, in a sense, seeking missionaries to come to them and help them reach the nations. And we don't have enough missionaries to send to every destination that help ask for help to share the blessing of Jesus. And perhaps there's just one person amongst you here today who would do what I call an Isaiah 6. And you remember when Isaiah was cleansed by the hot coal touching his lips, and he lived with the people of unclean lips. And then God said to him, "Whom can I send?" And Isaiah says, "You better send me, because you made me clean." That's a bit of paraphrase again. But that's what he said. Perhaps there's just one person here who says, "Jesus, you've cleaned my heart. I can go. I can go for you." The Pharisees had no idea that their hearts were unclean. This woman was scorned by the Jews, and yet she knew that Jesus was her only hope. And with abundance of confidence, she comes to Jesus, has an open heart to receive him. Not even the disciples had faith like her. Again, a contrast to her, because her faith was astronomical. And you have a look at it. I don't know what you want to be, but when I look at all these people, I want to be like this Greek woman. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. At this point, I don't want to even be like the disciples, because they don't have the faith, but I want to be like this woman. She has such a strong faith in Jesus and knows that he's the only one that can help. She places all her hope in Jesus to save her daughter. And this ought to encourage us just to be like her, because this nameless woman doesn't even come seeking for herself, in a sense. She just says, "Jesus, come and help my daughter." Not me, my daughter. "Can you look after my daughter?" I hope you're pleading for those around there, out here, around us, whose hearts can't respond to Jesus. I hope you're pleading for them that the Spirit of God would soften and open their hearts. You know, her daughter was filled to the core, filthy to the core, and yet Jesus, by his word, healed her. He just said to the woman, "Go, your daughter's done because of the way you responded to me, because of your faith." And she went home and she found a daughter healed. And I guarantee that lady went home and she bawled her eyes out. And all the pent-up grief from the years of watching her daughter paralysed, and all the joy of now seeing her heal, was just pouring out of her face, out of her eyes. Every conceivable emotion pouring out. But what do we learn? Only Jesus has the power to deal with the core heart problem. Only Jesus. See, this daughter is like a living example of what the Jewish people, and particularly the leaders, had become. Spiritually speaking, they had become so unclean, driven by evil. And in chapter 8, Jesus warned them, like I said, "Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. They're driven by evil." She is a mirror picture of what's happening in Israel through the leadership, the corrupt leadership, the blind spiritual guides. And only Jesus can clean her. And only Jesus can clean the heart. Even Peter, remember Peter, that great man who goes, "You are the Christ." And the next breath, Jesus says that, "I will suffer and die and be killed and rejected by the leaders." And Peter takes him inside and rebukes him. Why? He rebukes him because he's rejecting the death of Jesus and what he's going to do there. And Jesus turns around and says, get behind me, Satan. You're just like the Pharisees. Your mind's in the world and not in spiritual things. It's not in God's things. See, the very thing that Jesus came to do was to die on the cross, and that's the only way that anyone can have a clean heart, by what he does for them. He takes their curse on the cross. That's the only way you and I can be cleansed, through the actions of what Jesus did. Friends, there might be someone just here today that feels like they're a hypocrite. You know, they come to church and they're looking good, but at home they've got deep issues of sin. Can I try and encourage you today and say, don't beat yourself up. We cannot make ourselves clean. The only one that can fix us is Jesus. So you must keep coming. Keep coming, keep coming. We come to Jesus so we will not be hijacked by the world and its message, by its false and corrupt teaching. We come so we can build each other up, be refreshed in Jesus, and seek a clean heart for him. Let me pray that he would clean our hearts. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Spirit. We thank you that you are in control of all things. Father, we all sin. None of us are perfect. Please forgive us for those times where we harden our heart to you. And by your Spirit, wash us clean again today. Help us to rely on the very death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our acceptance in the holy place of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.